Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve is talking to me through the magic of Skype from Hobbs, New Mexico today. Steve, how are you?
We're doing great, and Mother's Day just finished up, and I hope everyone had as blessed a day as our family did. We started out early in the morning sharing breakfast with friends. It feels like we helped raise their daughter. Andrea Goff actually worked for me in our campaign starting in 2002, and then she got married, and so we saw the birth of her daughter, and her daughter is graduating from high school this year. So we went out and had a graduation ceremony as well as Mother's Day. Then went over with other friends. So we had Indian friends, Indian doctors from over in Lubbock, my Chinese friends from here in Hobbs, and he's got a Filipino wife and their son. And then it was just a whole mix of people all celebrating moms. And that's what we should have been doing. And then for the evening, I spent time with other friends. And so it was a full day of really recognition, celebration, honoring the moms of the country and of our lives. And so what a fascinating and wonderful time that is. But we got a lot to talk about on the show today. We've got a lot of border news coming up. We're going to be talking a little bit about the whole narrative that the Democrats are putting out, that the Republicans are going to cause default and it's going to be the first in the nation and blah, blah, blah. And we'll talk about that. Then we'll be mentioning the referendum that is going on right now among conservatives who are frustrated with the progressives in Santa Fe, the Democrats that passed crazy bills. Sad news. We had a shooting this week in Farmington, New Mexico. So stay tuned for a great show.
Let's start with the threat of default. And this keeps coming up. And one of the things that keeps bothering me is that the Democrats like to scare people that Social Security and Medicare will not be paid if we default. Doesn't the money they take out of my check to put in Social Security go into a separate fund that has nothing to do with the budget?
Well, it sort of does, but the way politicians are, for decades, they've been stealing the money out of the lockbox, so there's not much cash there, but yes, that money is directly apportioned. But Dick Morris, who served under Bill Clinton, he since then became Republican and conservative Republican, but he's got a great video clip out where he's talking about the default. There's not going to be a default. He was there during the Clinton years, and the threat of default came up. I was there during a time when the government actually shut down, and I think it was for 17 days. There was no default, and we kept sending the checks out as normal.
I remember that. You paid your staff out of your own pocket, right?
Yes, we stayed there. We kept everybody working. We didn't come home for the 17-day vacation. We felt like that the shutdown affected certain things that were financial in nature, but it shouldn't interfere with our ability to do our job. And so we stayed there and operated normally. And there was actually a whole hall full of people, both Democrats and Republicans, who stayed and worked. And of course, the people who went home got all of the press. But the government continued to function. But Dick Morris's point is that, look, this year we're scheduled to get $2.7 trillion in normal tax revenues, nothing exceptional, $2.7 trillion. The debt service, that's the amount that we owe and the debt that we have borrowed, is $364 billion. We can easily pay that. The Social Security is $770 billion a year. Medicare, then, is a huge amount at $426 billion. Then the VA payments, we would not shut off money to VA, and I think it's against the law to shut that money off. It's $157 billion. And then you've got defense, which everybody wants to keep our military active. That's $465 billion. If you add all of those together, you still have $500 billion to do just the routine stuff of the government. $500 billion is a huge amount. And so this idea that there's going to be some sort of a default because we don't increase the debt ceiling, and that's what this is all about. The Biden administration wants to put the country deeper in debt. They want to continue printing money in order to try to stimulate the economy. Stimulating the economy is not in itself bad, but when you stimulate the economy by printing money, Now, that's bad because that's what causes inflation. And so the Biden administration is already causing things to be sky high. Families are having trouble making ends meet. And it's because Joe Biden has printed so much money and he wants to do more, but he can't do it by law because the debt ceiling says you can't go beyond this point of debt. And he says, well, he's going to throw a fit. He's going to lie to the American public. The Democrat Party has got ads running on Facebook. They got ads running on Twitter. How that's terrible it's going to be, and Republicans want to default. That's not true at all. What Republicans want to do is live within our means. That's what every family would have to do. Every company would have to do. Companies and families can't print money. And so the Republicans are saying, let's get some common sense in Washington. If you want to spend money on this program, that program, then find one of those discretionary programs to cut. You can't cut Social Security, you can't cut Medicare, you can't cut the VA, you can't cut defense, you can't cut the debt service, but you can cut a lot of the wasteful spending that goes on in Washington, and that's what the Republicans are trying to do. But don't believe the lies of the left that the government is going to shut down and default and people aren't going to get their Social Security checks. It's not true. I experienced it. Social Security checks went out as normal. So we're here on the program trying to relay truth to people so that they don't live in fear every day that they're not going to have their Medicare paid for when they try to go to the doctor, or they're not going to get a Social Security check.
We've got another case after last week talking about a baby thrown in the dumpster. Now there's one thrown away in a wastebasket at a hospital. What's going on, Steve?
Well, it's another sad story. A young lady, still a teenager. She claims that she didn't know she was pregnant. She went into the hospital. The news story said that she locked herself in a bathroom and then 26 days later gave birth. Now, something about that story doesn't seem accurate because she'd had to come out and eat. But basically, she was told she was pregnant. She stayed in the hospital evidently. Then, without anyone knowing, she gave birth in a bathroom, stuffed the baby into the wastebasket, covered the baby up with a lot of the trash. Anyway, before anyone found the baby, it had already expired. It had died. And just another shameful reflection on what's happening in families, that they're not teaching any respect for life. They're not teaching personal responsibility. And we can't fathom the value set that says, I'm going to take this baby and put it in the trash, hide it, and let it die. The last young lady ended up being sentenced to prison over throwing the baby in the dumpster, and it lived. So it'll take a while for this to work its way through the court. But again, just a tragedy, and one that reflects on where our society is headed today in the United States.
I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And in just a moment, we'll be discussing the lifting of Title 42 and what's happening on our southern border on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, last week, the Biden administration lifted Title 42, and as you and I predicted, there is chaos on the southern border.
There's sheer chaos. There's a fascinating video, and it appears to be someone very closely connected to the ICS, the Immigration and Customs officials, but it talks about the epidemic at the border, the epidemic of crossings at the border. And they break them into a couple of different categories, which means that it's common enough for people to do one of two things. Number one, the getaways. They just simply refer to them as the ones that they couldn't catch. Local sheriffs are out trying to man the border and try to give some security along the New Mexico border. In Texas, the governor of Texas is actually using the National Guard. Here in New Mexico, Governor Grisham has said that she absolutely would not use the Guard to help police the border and to help get any common sense security at the border.
Well, she has said that we don't have a problem at the border.
Yeah, she's exactly like Kamala Harris. She either didn't see when she went, or like Joe Biden, she toured areas that were being shown to her in order to convince her wasn't a problem. And in her mind, there is not a problem. And that's, again, an indication of where the progressive mindset in the Democrat Party has gone to, saying that these tens of thousands of people coming illegally are okay. What they're going to do is drive down the wages. They're going to drive up the cost of government. If we think that we're having trouble paying the bills right now, say for welfare or for Medicare or Medicaid, for just the people who can't take care of themselves, then we're about to experience a much bigger increase in that budget. The people who are in charge in this Biden administration either don't know that money is limited, that you can't continue to print it forever, or they just don't care. So they're allowing these getaways to come in. But then the next big group of people are the give up, the getaways, and then the give ups. The give ups have an app on their phone which tells them what to say when they encounter a border official. Basically, they're claiming amnesty. And so they have words that have been proved up in courts that if you say these words, then we're going to let you stay. And so the Border Patrol is just covered up processing these people. In the rare case when somebody's actually sent back, the cartels actually benefit. Right now, they're driving people up to the border, dropping them off, and they, of course, charge them anywhere from $2,000 to $8,000. And when people are sent back, now then they get to bring the same person. They don't have like a guarantee that you're going to get to stay, so they get to charge them again. And the Democrats think this is somehow normal and somehow that it should occur at our border, but having the cartels basically determining who comes into the country is one that is resulting in the chaos that everyone is talking about now occurring at the border.
There was something I saw, too, that when they are captured and then they're given a court date, some of the court dates are in 2032. And so they're allowed to stay in the country and work until their court date.
Yeah, the whole thing is a sham. There is no intent for these people to ever come to court. They don't actually track them. If they don't show up, let's say they had a court date tomorrow. If they didn't show up, then nothing happens. And so the border is basically wide open to anyone who wants to come. And again, I think that the Republicans are the ones who love legal immigration. All of us admire someone who will leave everything, come here and try to make a better life. But the idea of an open border, we're the only country in the world that allows its border to be trespassed exactly the way ours is right now. The fact that we've got a cartel working on both sides of the border now seems not to concern the Biden administration at all. Cartels are visibly present in many of the larger cities all the way across the country. And so they've got this network there where they can continue to exploit people. And that exploitation is shameful, really. And it's just a part of the Biden administration's handling of the government. I think that people far preferred when the border was secure. We didn't have to worry about criminals coming across. We didn't have to worry about people bringing in diseases that have been stamped out here. We didn't have to worry about people who would come in and drive the wages down for hardworking Americans, hardworking New Mexicans. And yet all of that stuff is occurring in abandon now. You can see on the internet, the mainstream media does nothing to show this, but you can see the lines that are miles long and people just waiting to come in. And in some areas, they're running in and getting away. And so the border states like New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, California, we're the ones that suffer most in this ridiculous policies that are coming out from the Biden administration.
Another effect of this, I'm seeing reports in New York. Our Democrat friends in New York are displacing homeless veterans from these hotels that have been turned into shelters, displacing our homeless veterans to put in these people that are coming illegally over the border. And now the veterans groups are quite unhappy with the Democrats that control New York State and New York City.
Yeah, it's, again, just an indication of the mindset of the progressive Democrats that say that you come here illegally, you get better treatment than if you sacrificed and maybe were wounded in action, serving in the military, defending your country or whatever. And so the treatment of veterans, as a veteran myself, it infuriates me that they would be kicking veterans out of shelters that were meant to keep them out of the cold and instead putting people who've come here illegally in there. And so, again, just a sign of the Democrat Party of the day. No common sense at all. The basic American would want our veterans to be treated properly. And if there are resources left, then perhaps we can help out people while their cases are being determined, but certainly not kicking veterans out of housing in order to put people in coming illegally.
I've got a news story about the shooting in Farmington from KOB TV Channel 4 in Albuquerque.
Breaking news out of Farmington. Four people are dead, including the teenage gunman, after a mass shooting in northern New Mexico. Seven other people are injured and in the hospital, including two police officers who were shot. Now we ask, how did this happen and why? To that, we turn to Spencer Schott, who is leading our team coverage from Farmington tonight. Spencer, you have an update on the people who are injured. I see you're standing in front of the hospital.
Yep, that's right, Ryan. I'm right here at the San Juan Regional Medical Center, where most of the folks who were injured today in this shooting are being treated. And that includes two police officers, one with the Farmington Police Department and the other with New Mexico State Police. Now, in total, seven folks were injured and four, including the shooter, were killed. Now, police say the 911 calls started coming in reporting gunshots around 11 o'clock this morning. Now, this was happening all along North Dustin Avenue between Apache and Ute Street. Now, throughout the morning, multiple people called 911 reporting these gunshots, and at this time, we don't know much about the shooter, except police say he was heavily armed and he was very young.
We do know the age of the suspected shooter. He is 18 years of age.
Just another tragedy and an indication that crime is completely out of control in New Mexico. There, of course, is going to be the entire push from the left to control guns. But I will tell you, there is no justification at all for taking guns away from legitimate law-abiding citizens because other people have mental illness or whatever is driving them to do these sorts of shootings. But again, tragedy happening here in New Mexico.
I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. In our next segment, more and more parents are becoming unhappy with what's going on in New Mexico school systems. We'll talk about that in a moment on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
You are listening to Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, some parents are not happy with H.R. 7 that passed in the last legislative session. Tell us what they're doing about it.
Yeah, Better Together New Mexico is a group that we work with, and they're organizing a lot of other groups and starting to gather petition signatures that seek to put a recall or referendums on the ballot, not this November, but next November. And the focus of these referendums are HB 4, Senate Bill 180, HB 7, Senate Bill 13, and Senate Bill 397, all which challenge parental rights. Those are the ones that say that the schools can be counseling your child on changing their sex, sexual identity without the parents knowing, and just a whole array of offenses to parents. These referendums are gaining steam around the state, and we're supporting them. So the Republican Party of New Mexico is supporting these efforts. Each one of our counties are helping in the referendum, the gathering of the signatures. But if we can get these put on the ballot, that's going to be a noteworthy event. It's going to take hundreds of thousands of signatures, but go New Mexico. This is the way that average citizens can actually take part and voice their condemnation, their disagreement with what has gone on in Santa Fe. Again, we point out frequently how the state legislature refuses to even discuss with conservative Democrats what's going on in the bills that they're passing. So this referendum is going to get a lot of independent and a lot of Democrat signatures saying no, that parents have rights when it comes to their kids in school, or the way that different agencies are interacting with their kids.
So if I'm hearing this for the first time here on Inside New Mexico and I want to help, how would I get involved?
Yeah, you can go to the Republican Party of New Mexico website, and it will show you places where you can get training to help on the petitions, to where you can get location and dates of the petition events. So feel free to get that. At the same time, we're asking people to register to vote. If you can't vote, then you ought to cure that by registering. It's easy. There's a website that is listed where you can get the registration forms and simply do it very easily. So register to vote, sign up on the petitions, help circulate the petitions, and be a part of changing New Mexico. Be the change that you would like to see New Mexico be.
I see a report here that consumer debt in America reaches a record high, and that kind of goes along with the inflation we're experiencing.
It is absolutely a product of the inflation. People are just stressed and stretched so thin financially that they can't pay their bills. And so what they're doing is running up credit card debt, or they're having to go to the bank. Say a transmission on the car goes out, they've got to go borrow the $2,000 or $3,000 to replace the transmission. If you have a set of tires go out, the inflation now has driven them up, and so you may have to borrow $1,000 just to replace tires. There were times in the recent past when it cost you half of that. Just paying for the gas to get to work every week and take kids to school is taking a bigger bite out of the paycheck, because Joe Biden has made it harder to drill for American oil, and he's making it easier for the Russians to send their oil here, for the Saudi Arabians to send their oil. We could be energy independent, and yet that we're having to increase our debt as a nation, but then also people are increasing their personal debt. What that means in the long term is that there's going to be even a deeper recession. Personal debt always leads to economic slowdowns, because people eventually have to stop buying. They can't borrow anymore. And we start looking at increased foreclosures. People get so deep into debt, they have to declare bankruptcy. All of those things mean that the bills they owe won't get paid. The bankruptcy protects them. And so then companies that thought they were going to get this money in for the products they sold them, whether it be a new car or a house or whatever, suddenly they're left holding the bag and unable to collect. And so it's a downward spiral of the economy. And one of the first signs of recession is the increasing personal debt. So, again, a very bad warning sign for America. One that Joe Biden seems to be completely impervious to. He doesn't seem to process it at all. And so I think that the suffering is going to continue in America, but especially in states like New Mexico. Because we're one of the low-income states, then our consumers here are going to be hit harder with that debt crisis, the personal debt crisis, than if you're living in New York City working on Wall Street. You're going to be making 6 or 7 figures there. Here you're making $30,000 to $40,000 a year. There's just no way that you can pay your bills. And when you try to make it all work with credit card debt, it just is putting off much pain into the future.
And when Steve Pierce says we could be energy independent, you could say, well, that's just Steve speculating. No, 4 years ago, we were energy independent. So it's a past performance issue.
Yeah, we're energy independent and a lot of resources that could be produced. And right now, I mean, in our home county, one of the largest oil producing regions of the country, people are literally asking, should we invest in a well here or should we go across the state line into Texas? Those things bode ill for New Mexico when firms are worried about the regulatory impact that the governor is going to have. The governor has stated many times that the oil and gas has got to be phased out. She passed the Green New Deal for New Mexico, which absolutely declares a phase-out date for oil and gas. And so investors have a right to worry if they're going to be safe putting money into their wells here. Another sad news last week, the Albuquerque Journal had a story about the former Albuquerque attorney being the latest homicide victim. Now, the strange thing about this is that 45-year-old Colin Hunter died from his injuries, but Hunter was a previous vice chairman of the Bernalillo County GOP, and he was active in lawsuits that were conservative in nature. You have to wonder if Colin Hunter was politically targeted. All that's known right now is that he was shot by an unknown offender and that the case is being investigated. You recall earlier this year when the supposed threats were made against Democrat people in office, and it was made big news because of the political implications. And yet there was almost no mention here of targeting or threats to Republicans because of this. There's nothing in the investigation that declares it to be a hate crime. And so that's what I think bothers people, is that the scales of justice in the minds of the agencies are weighted heavily, that if anything happens to Democrats, it's political in nature, a hate crime. If it happens to Republican, well, maybe it was just an accidental homicide. But anyway, again, the crime in Albuquerque continues to be out of control, and that's something that drives jobs away from the state. It's something that drives professionals out of the state. They don't want to be a part of living here, and it's absolutely essential to elect Republican judges and to elect Republican prosecutors in order to start getting some control of the crime on the streets. If you elect a Republican legislature, then they can pass laws that will tighten up the crime problem. They can support the police more, give more resources to the police. They can be a loud voice on the side of the citizens of New Mexico saying that we're tired of the crime. So vote Republican and change the state.
Thank you, Steve Pierce. And if you've been listening to us and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, there's several ways to do that. One is check out the website at newmexico.gop. There's all kinds of helpful information there. You'd like to volunteer, maybe run for office. Maybe just get involved by contacting your county Republican Party. Contact your state legislators. There's also an events calendar. The Republican Party of New Mexico also has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you would like to speak to somebody in person, call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. And if you get a chance, thank your local radio station for playing this program. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week on Inside New Mexico.